Hey, Deep Fried fans, this is one of your hosts, Keith. Yeah, you're probably looking for Ellie Mae's sultry voice, but she is still on vacation right now, so I'm going to have to do for you. Let's go ahead and get this show kicked off. This is show number 24, recorded live at the Professional Developer Conference back in October of 2008. In this episode, we sat down with Chris Smith, who's on the F-Sharp team at Microsoft. We also sat down with Dustin Campbell, a really good friend of ours, who is on the Visual Studio IDE team for VB.net. In this episode, we talk about F-Sharp, how we can use it, why we can use it, and why we should care. Okay, Deep Fried fans, grab that glass of sweet tea and get ready for some Gumpology. Hey, folks, welcome back to another episode of Deep Fried Bites. My main man, Woody, what's up, sir?
What's up? It's PDC, baby.
It's PDC 08, folks. We're sitting in L.A. today.
Yeah. Yeah, the fresh air of L.A. is really doing me good. So
Not. Yeah, totally different than living in the South. Let me tell you that, where the trees blow wild and the butterflies fly and all of that stuff. Well, Woody, we got some guests today.
We do. We have some old friends and some new friends, and so why don't you introduce them?
Well, I would like to welcome our old friend who left us, but we found him again in L.A., Dustin Campbell. Dustin, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys.
Awesome. And we got a new friend, Mr. Chris Smith.
I'm super excited to be here. Nice to meet you all.
He already worked the super in. That's awesome.
Oh, no, that's they tell you that the first day, right?
Yeah, super.
Super excited.
Yeah, super excited. That's actually part of the interview process. It's how they screen people. If you say super, you're in.
Hired, done.
No, that's not true.
Go right to HR. Well, folks, we're going to sit down and talk about F-Sharp today. Chris is actually in the process of writing an F-Sharp book. And do you have a title yet for it?
It's coming out from O'Reilly. It's the Programming F-Sharp. Yeah, it should be due out about, next summer.
Cool. And Dustin has been, blogging madly about F-Sharp for, forever before you went to Microsoft.
Yeah.
And you were all thrilled about it and speaking on it. And
I'm still all thrilled about it.
And
are. It's an exciting language coming out of Microsoft. So it's a lot of fun to program in. So, yeah, totally excited about it.
So, guys, tell me what you guys do inside the mothership, because I know our listeners like to know what people do and what their day-to-day responsibilities are.
So, okay, I'll go first. I actually run the Visual Basic IDE. I'm the program manager on Visual Basic IDE. And I guess I shouldn't say I run it, because program managers don't really run things. They just kind of keep the ship running, going. But so day-to-day, I'm working on new features for the next version of Visual Studio. I also enjoy wearing another hat on the F-Sharp evangelism team. So that's kind of what I do day-to-day, right? It's a lot of fun.
I'm a software design engineer in test at Microsoft, which is a big fancy title for it is my job to tell legendary Cambridge researcher Don Syme when he's wrong. Don Syme's the kind of language architect and MSR. The brains behind the F-Sharp operation. And so it's my role to just kind of make sure that when it goes out to customers that people like it and does what it's supposed to.
So you're the liaison to the academic side of the F-Sharp. So you bring back stories and user experiences in the field?
No, not necessarily. My main responsibility is just making sure it doesn't crash, right? I fortunately don't do much of. But we're a very small team, and so like Dustin said, the F-Sharp evangelism is really what I really enjoy, right? And so going out there, meeting with people, not only kind of the academic folk, right, but also just regular Joe developers and trying to, just get the word of F-Sharp out there and saying, hey, this will help you out, And so check out this new language.
So, guys, what's the big news maybe recently that F-Sharp has been coming out with?
Well, we released a CTP in September, the Community Technology Preview, which is the latest version of the compiler and the language service, and it installs on Visual Studio 2008. So you'll be able to create F# projects just like you would, you know, C# or VB. Earlier versions of F#, you know, it wasn't quite as polished, but we've come a long way and kind of getting it up to ship quality.
Anything coming out in the next 6 months where it's going to actually be official, or is it just still going to be in CTP beta for the next several years? I mean, what's the timeline going on?
Well, we will be in the next version of Visual Studio, which has been officially announced as Visual Studio 2010. So we'll be in the box as a first-class citizen. We're going to try to keep on producing the CTPs just so, you know, people can get F# in the meantime and not have to wait, you know, until the next release of Visual Studio comes out.
So whenever I install Visual Studio 2010, when it comes out, I can, you know, uncheck VB and uncheck F# or check F#.
Or check F#.
Yeah, or check it.
You caught that, huh, Dustin? Yeah. And so it's going to be a first-class citizen in the IDE. So, I mean, we're going to get full-blown IntelliSense with it.
Yep.
With all of the new stuff that's been announced today, where Visual Studio 2010 is now, it was just announced a few minutes ago that it's going to be baked on totally on WPF now. The actual IDE that we actually spend all of our lives in is WPF now. Degoo showed some nice demos with WPF. It was really cool. And so all of that stuff that we're doing in there is going to it's just going to be just like a first-class citizen then.
That's exactly right.
It won't, you know, to be clear, it won't have a lot of designer support since it's just like the first version of F#. So we won't have a WPF designer, right? But because F#'s built on .NET, you can just use the existing tools for VB and C# and get the same great experience, you know, and then you can just, you know, call into your F# code or even just, you know, do it natively. As in, like, write the WPF code in F#.
The reason why we wanted to talk to you guys today was really to get people to understand why, how, and when they should use F#. So let's kind of break it down and maybe give a kind of a 10,000-foot overview for people who don't know F# at this point and have heard the name but maybe don't really understand the background of it.
So let's kind of look at the way that software is written today, right? So from a 10,000-foot view, right, you have your enterprise app and you have these big components and they're calling into each other. And object-oriented programming is great for that, right? It's great for abstracting ideas and concepts and then just, you know, building on top of that, right? But as you get closer down to, like, the actual implementation, right, like the just pushing bits around or the raw code, right, what on the team we've been referring to as like programming in the small, object-oriented programming kind of breaks down, right? Because you have to talk in terms of objects. And in some domains, objects just don't fit, right? So you know, let me give you an example. And this is kind of like a simple example, but it really illustrates the point, right? So let's say you want to write a, you know, some sort of poker bot or poker application, right? And you want to model a card, okay? So it's a very simple idea. Well, how do you do this, right? Well, you have a rank, right? So it's a ace, a king, or a queen, or a value card, okay? Well, to do that, you can maybe do an enumeration, you know, and it's like a value, but let's say you cast it as like -5 or something, right? Enums aren't safe in that regard, and so things start crashing, right? And so then you're like, okay, well, I guess I'll write a class. You know, I have your base class card, and then you have your like subclasses, like this is an ace card, which inherits from card, And that works, right? But you write a lot of code, right? So you have this just, you know, kind of trivial concept, right? But now you have like 10 different classes, right? 10 different classes you have to maintain. And then like, oh, well, these are sealed classes, right? You have to mark them up in a certain way. And you find that you're just kind of really fighting against the language, right? Because it doesn't have these simple constructs in there. So you know, why F#? It's because F# and this notion of functional programming, right? Some things are just easier in there, right? Because you don't have to just use objects. You can, you know, use functions and take advantage of some specific types in F#, right? And for certain, you know, classes of application, it's just easier.
So you're saying that basically, like, instead of actually, you know, fighting like, well, I have to follow object-oriented principles and do this and this and think about all of this stuff before you actually get any value out of it, F# would allow people just to sort of jump in quicker and get their code on, so to speak.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, we have a REPL loop for F#. So if you used, you know, Ruby or Python, you know, you just type some code into a console window, it you know, executes it, then just gives you a result, right? So if you want to write a function in F sharp, you just, you know, type a line of code, press enter, and see what the result is. So you can like quickly get your code on, right?
Yeah, that is very cool, actually.
Oh yeah,
it's the what the interactive shell or something like that is what it's called, basically.
F sharp interactive window.
And functional programming, like, it's really great. This, you know, programming in the small. I'm gonna keep on saying that. But it's not like, you know, you just you write these functions, but you can't integrate it, right? You know, it's easy to convert your F-sharp code into, like, classes, right? Because classes scale, right? If you want to take your functional core, right, and then package this up in a class, right, and then call it from your other code or build bigger components off of it, like, you can do that.
So, Dustin, you had a lot of blog entries. Which one was the one that you enjoyed writing the most?
I think the one on function composition kind of blew my mind. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Actually, the one I enjoyed the most was, I started doing these Project Euler problems, right? So, and those are these, you know, if you don't know what Project Euler is, it's kind of a series of math problems that people kind of use to just kind of help themselves, you know, learn whatever programming language. They say, hey, I'm going to do these problems in, you know, say C# or C++ or Haskell or whatever. There's a whole bunch of them. So I said I'm going to try and do these in F sharp, and it was the point of mine. So sometimes people try and do these, and they try and figure out the fastest way to solve these problems. And I decided that I was going to try and make code that was the most beautiful using F sharp and try and do the most beautiful thing. And so problem four, it turned out to be about using function composition to create almost like a DSL, right? So to find like the sum of squares plus the square of the sums, you know, this kind of math problem, right? But it turned out to be just when you looked at the code, it was just this gorgeous statement of the problem, and that created a solution. So that was my favorite one to write because I felt like that was the one where I actually achieved what I was going for. So
do you find that F sharp is more readable and people can sit down and take a look at your function and understand it better than maybe some other languages that are more object oriented?
So F sharp is known for being a concise language, right? You don't have to put a lot of semicolons and curly braces all over the place. And so if you start looking at some C# code, right, you're going to have to skim through like two or three pages until you actually kind of get what's going on. In F sharp, you can, you know, it's much more expressive, right? So you look at one page of code and you see kind of everything that's going on. So I think in that regard, it's a little, you know, easier to read. However, right, you do need to wrap your head around some of these functional programming concepts, right? I mean, if you're looking at some code that's like pretty straightforward in the like imperative or using object-oriented programming, you're like, oh, you know, yeah, that's it. If you're looking at some functional code, right, you kind of have to understand kind of how things are going together, right? It's not that it's more complex; it's just you have to use these kind of new ideas about, you know, transforming data and how understanding how the functions compose.
So yeah, it's learning a new syntax, kind of, and understanding the background of what builds into F sharp, right?
Well, it's more than just syntax, right? It's a whole other set of like concept count, right? You know, in object oriented programming, we have our set of concepts that we all learned. You know, the ideas of inheritance, and we all had that, you know, that great day when we finally got polymorphism and saw the value and really understood it. And in functional programming, it's a whole other set of concepts that are beautiful and they're interesting to learn, and it helps, you know, even your C# code or your VB code. But yeah, it's very different from just syntax, right? So it's a whole paradigm.
Let me give you an example, right? So previously we talked about like this function composition, right? So what is that? In C#, you know, you have this problem and you're transforming data from, you know, A to B to C so that you can eventually pass that, you know, into some function and solve your problem. Well, in F sharp, you can take a lot of these little functions, okay, and you essentially like just put them together, right? You say the output of this function goes directly into the input of that one, and you build up a new function, right, built off all these smaller things. And you're like, well, that's, you know, why would you do that? But the result is that you can build more complex applications with just writing simpler code.
Right, and this is actually the idea behind link, right? Link is, I mean, the reason the extension methods are there, it's about transforming a bit of data, and then let's call a method off the result, and then transform it a little further, and call a method off the result, and then when we're done, you know, we've got this brand new, like, problem that's been solved using link, and that's the idea. So when people say we've added you know, functional programming features to C Sharp. That's the idea, right? It's these concepts of function composition, of data transformation, of combining functions together to solve problems.
And it's not like you have to be an egghead to get this, right? You know,
but you are an egghead.
well, that's true, right? But the listeners are not eggheads, right? And so if anything, like if we make F Sharp, right, and it's just like this thing that only, you know, you have to have a PhD to get, right? Like it would just be an abject failure, right? And so, you know, F Sharp's successful, at least so far, right? People, we've been very, very impressed with the amount of uptake it's gotten, just because it's approachable. These are good ideas, right? This function composition, and F Sharp presents it in such a way that it's useful. And what I mean is, like, you can use the .NET framework and write, you know, code like you normally do, and then kind of like slowly start working in some of these functional concepts into your code.
So from a historical language standpoint, where's F Sharp stand, and kind of where did it come from other languages?
Who's its daddy?
Who's its daddy? So F Sharp comes from the ML family of languages. So if you've ever heard of that or used it, the syntax is very similar. But it takes ideas from a lot of other languages. You know, for example, it works well with .NET, right? And so it takes, you know, it extends ML in adding things like delegates, events, right? And a very strong kind of OO, you know, feature set. I don't want to spend too much time going into like, oh, well, it's this functional language and there's 70 years of history and functional languages, right? Yeah. If anything, I want to say F Sharp's not scary, right?
But it does come from a different family than C Sharp and VB, so it's good to know,
yeah,
kind of what, where it came from and who's its daddy. And
so I mean, as far as like, I mean, if you want to talk like about that, I mean, there's like two daddies, right? There's Fortran and there's Lisp. Now Fortran has nothing to do with F Sharp. Like F Sharp is not Fortran Sharp, right? Which I've heard people
say
ask.
That a lot.
I know it's a funny joke. I'm not laughing. But the, so these two languages started, you know, approximately the same time. You know, Fortran was like in 1957 and Lisp was in 1958, right? So long before, you know, any of us were you know, talking and doing
podcasts. Even a gleam in our daddy's eye.
Not even a gleam. So, but languages developed kind of along these two separate paths, right? You know, from Fortran came all these more imperative languages. And by imperative, I mean the kinds of languages where you state more specifically what I want the processor to do to solve my problem. Where I say, you know, assign this into this variable and you know, transform it here and read from this memory address and that sort of thing. And so that developed into like Pascal and the C-based languages and all of those, Java, C-sharp, Basic, Visual Basic. Those are all kind of from the Fortran tree. And then on the Lisp side, it just kind of, it developed this more declarative style of things. It's the idea of coming, instead of saying how to do something, I want to say what I want it to do and do it that way. So the idea of taking more of like the language says takes the symbols and says let's just start at the top and say what I want it to do, and then let's build abstractions down.
Yeah, you right? Add abstractions until you can actually implement the system, right? Whereas if you're on C, right, well you add abstractions until it's like useful to program,
right? You add abstractions on top. So that kind of went down through like ML and Haskell and all these Scheme and all these different languages, and so F Sharp is kind of from that ML line of things. And these days, we're kind of bridging the gap, kind of the impedance gap between these languages, right? So with languages like C Sharp 3.0, you know, VB9, VB10, we've added all sorts of functional language features to the languages to allow you to do this kind of declarative style and in an imperative style if you need to, right? And F Sharp is not by any means strictly a functional programming language. It's a similar kind of a paradigm. It's a little more, I want to say, like, geared towards the functional style, and it'll gently kind of push you in that direction, but it's very much supports object-oriented programming, very much supports imperative programming. So it's kind of in the same game as the C#3.0 kind of thing, but yeah, a little more functional.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, C# moving closer to functional, right, but from a very strong and powerful OO language, whereas F# is a strong and powerful functional language that kind of is being nudged in the OO world.
You know, I think it's more, you know, they're both robbing Peter to pay Paul almost. I mean, mm-hmm. They're both built on the .NET platform. So you know, writing, you know, F sharp and you're calling into the .NET framework, it looks different than F sharp, right? Because it, but it's sitting on top of the framework, and C sharp looks more like how the framework is used than.
Exactly. Like C sharp 1.0 was like, you know, just like a wrapper around IL, right? I mean, really, really, really close to the IL.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to thank our sponsor this episode. It's TechSmith. They make some really cool products. If you've ever tried to do like snapshots and screen captures of your applications or maybe your desktop, you know, sometimes it can be difficult. Well, Snagit does a great job with that. So, you know, I recommend it if you're working with PowerPoint presentations or software documentation or blogs, just about anything that you need to capture areas of your desktop.
That's right. You know, and Camtasia Studio just came out with version 6.0, and it's a great product too. The really cool features I like about it, Woody, are they now support QuickTime movies. That is awesome. So now my little HD camera that I have saves stuff as QuickTime. So now I can actually edit my video and produce something and put it up on YouTube. So both of them are great products, folks. If you haven't ever tried them out, please give them a try. They're very involved in the community, and we certainly appreciate them.
So you can find evals and more information on the products at techsmith.com.
For somebody in the financial sector, I think functional programming is great for doing calculations of, we do loans, right? Mm-hmm. And calculating interest and payments and all that kind of stuff is really cool. Let's say that I wrote some, you know, stuff in F sharp, okay? And then I handed it off to my dev team to use and bake in all the, you know, all our internal applications. What would it look like from a C sharp angle in the IDE?
So if you're consuming F sharp code, right, and you package it in a class library, it'll look just like C sharp, right? Like you have classes, or methods and properties that, you know, you won't see the difference. It's possible that you can, you know, kind of expose some functional concepts, and then you'll like, wait, this function has this weird, you know, fast func of type T, you know. But if you, you know, really try to encapsulate that F sharp code in like classes in the O world, you know, it won't be noticeable.
Yeah, so that's kind of the approach we take, right? So like to say I'm going to write, you know, 50 lines of beautiful functional sort of code that actually solves my problem, my doing like maybe in your case like financial calculations very declaratively and it works perfectly exactly like I want it, and then I can just take a class and wrap around that, and then I can expose it to the C sharp world, and it'll look exactly like they want it to, like they expect it to.
Okay, so you have to know going in, it sounds like, that you're going to do that though, because if you don't, it's going to look.
Well, it'll still work,
yeah,
but
it's
painful, yeah, right? Yeah. There's kind of a trade off here, right? It's a little more painful for C sharp to see the world as F sharp sees it, right? But you know, you can it's a few lines of code to make that a better reality,
and,
right?
And
really a few lines of code.
It's not that it's like painful. It's just a matter of if you're going to share code, right? You need to make it easy to consume, right? And it's kind of like one of the problems with like C or a procedural language, right? If you just have a bunch of functions, right, and I want to call into those functions, you know, how do I easily consume that?
We're getting brought water.
Yes, thank you.
Jeff McWhorter, thank you.
Jeff McWhorter's bringing us water. He's such an awesome guy. Okay, so let's talk. You know, backing up to Woody's question, you said, you know, we talked about the why, right? So let's talk about the where now.
Everywhere, right? General purpose, baby. You can
come on.
Yeah. No, F sharp, you know, just like C sharp is a great language, but it has its weaknesses here and there. You know, for example, programming in the small, you know, F sharp is it's a functional first language and kind of attacks OO on the side. And so, you know, building an entire object model in F sharp probably wouldn't be the greatest experience, right? But some domains that F sharp really excels in is concurrency, and that's a big one, right? We're really excited about that. And also, you know, quantitative computing, real algorithmic stuff. But really any, I tell people whenever you're writing a lot of C sharp code and you're writing code, but not, that doesn't solve your problem, right? You're just writing code to build the abstractions so that, you know, the square peg will fit into the round hole, right? That's when you probably want to start looking at F sharp, right? Take a step back and say like, okay, well, is it just that, you know, I have to use in these objects and they're not fitting, right? Can I somehow compose simpler concepts like functions or you know, some F-sharp concepts like discriminated unions in their place?
And in the same vein, I mean, if you start writing in F-sharp and things start to feel like, wow, this is not a good fit for the language, right? Maybe I'm building some big inheritance-based object hierarchy, and it's like, this isn't really working as well. Then maybe it's time to go to C# or VB.
If you're writing, you know, heavy OO code, yeah, like C# or VB are much better for that.
A lot of developers tend to like go to one language and just kind of use it for everything. I mean, it's most of us. I mean, I do. I don't write in VB. I write everything in C#, and that's just.
Have
because
you used XML literals?
I used XML.
You're missing out.
You are missing out.
You have used it one place.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, we've used them and baked them in, and people don't know, right? But that's like the one case. So. Most people are just sort of doing, you know, the one language. Are you thinking that F# is going to sort of bridge that more?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we really, and it's not just about, you know, having F# be the bridge, you know, for existing languages. But, you know, you look at some of the stuff that's coming out from Microsoft, you know, these days, it's like Iron Ruby, Iron Python, the advances in C#, VB, and then now F#. You know, it's really kind of realizing that promise of the common language runtime. And so, you know, if you have some app and thing, you know, you're doing tasks at all different levels, you know, just use a language that works best. And I think it's easy to use one language to do everything, but, you know, you're really doing yourself a disservice, right? Because some parts just aren't going to be suited for that language.
And at the end of the day, I mean, you're delivering a .NET assembly,
yeah.
Right? So, I mean, you know,
yeah, you are.
That's you know, so if you kind of get pushback from that, you know, sometimes there's good reasons for that, but sometimes the reasons aren't really, you know, valid why you would use one language, right? Sometimes, you know, really all you need to do is just give them a .NET assembly and you're done, right?
So I've got a question. So where does F# fit into the Microsoft stack? So think about BizTalk. So BizTalk has orchestrations and they do transformations. Could I use F# to inside BizTalk to transform data and do calculations? And I mean, I'm thinking more in the stack. So you guys, I mean, we all talk about fire up Visual Studio and start using a language, but I want to also take a look at using it with different stack areas in the
Maybe
Microsoft app.
Workflow would be a good example. Yeah,
yeah, workflow.
Like doing workflows
BizTalk,
with F#.
I mean, a lot of those areas that I want to push around data. I want to transform it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, and I don't really think of those as. Sometimes I don't think of those as OO, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
of those as something that maybe F# could be really useful yeah. for.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of these things are, they just accept or expect a .NET assembly with a certain, you know, interface or a certain type. And you, if you write that in F#, you know, it should just work. And it's not only, you know, BizTalk, and that's a great, you know, it solves real world problems. But, you know, you can write Xbox games using X and A on F#. You know, I know people have, you know, been able to get F# working on ASP.NET, and then, you know, there's potential for eventually getting on the compact framework and all over the place, right? You know, it's F# just another .NET language that compiles down to IL, right? And anywhere IL is accepted, you know, F# should be able to just, you know, do its magic. Get your code on.
Get your code on.
So, I mean, where do you guys, I guess my question is, where do you guys see partners out in the ecosystem using it currently, and where do you see maybe some places where people don't get it that maybe they would be advised to explore into it?
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind is the parallel and concurrent space, right? This is kind of the elephant in the room, right? And there's a lot of good technology that, you know, Microsoft has. That there's this thing called the Task Parallel Library, you know, which does this parallel programming just makes it easy. But in F#, we make it even easier. And wait, what, you laugh? That wasn't cheesy at all. Okay, Dustin is he's hurting my feelings right now.
Oh, sorry. Your facial expressions don't come through.
Oh, they don't. They don't. I'm very attractive, if there are any ladies in the audience. So you know. Yeah, hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah, we'll have a picture of both Dustin and Chris on the when this post comes out. So do come out, if you grab this off the RSS feed, do go out and see Chris's Chris's picture. He's
see his picture,
and you may for all the we'll guys cell phone number on there. Crushes. So we'll see.
I like long walks on the long walks on the beach, fireside chats, and functional programming.
And pina coladas.
Okay, I do. I mean, this is a kind of a point of contention here.
So right, so Chris has kind of a love of
passion.
Let's say drinks that are less than manly.
Okay, so I go to the bar, right, and you know the waitress, she's like, hey, what would you like? You know, maybe some bourbon, right? Maybe a
beer. He's like, yo, give me that pink vodka.
Yeah,
pink one.
No,
not that
rated
one.
It's delicious. Okay, and I'm like, get me the most delicious thing you have. Okay, I'm looking for something good, not a drink that's like hurts to drink. I'm like, I'm looking for something good.
I'm drinking a beer, a man's beer,
Come on.
Okay, so guys, give us a little bit of for. You know, for those that have never looked at, you know, F sharp, give us like a couple of hello worlds or and some things that people can do in F sharp that would just be ungodly crazy in C sharp. Or VB for that.
Async parallel programming. Like just type asynchronous workflows and you'll see some code samples. And I mean here's the problem, right? If you want to do parallel programming, you have to deal with threads, right? You have to lock some data and then like just manage all that crap. Okay. And this isn't something that F sharp's like specifically built for, right? It's not something that we've like designed the language around. There's just this language feature you know that gets into that functional backbone and there's some great research we can tap into, but you just write the code like you normally would, and then you you know, rather than using the let keyword, you put let bang, right, with a little exclamation point, and then that is a little magic behind the scenes, takes care of all the thread hopping for you, right? And if you see those samples, like it'll blow your mind.
Now, there's all these rumors out there about F sharp being really cool with like testing scenarios. Give us some stories on that.
Oh, you're asking me the easy questions.
Ah.
All right. So, another area that like F sharp's really good at is something called creating like DSLs or domain specific languages. That's kind of like fancy talk for writing F sharp code that looks like it's some other language, right? And so Matt Podwasaki has this great testing framework written in F sharp. And you write code, it says, you know, two should be greater than one, right? And you write the F sharp code, not a lot of heavy syntax, and it writes your unit tests, you know, in a very declarative style. Like it kind of looks like it's English, but it's actually like there's a function called should and a function called be, and then they compose.
So can you write that in F sharp and then apply that to other languages or?
Oh, sure. Right. So, I mean, you know, we've been talking a lot about like assuming F sharp from other languages, but F sharp is also, because it's a .NET, you know, citizen, it can consume any other .NET language as well. So, you know, stuff produced from C sharp or VB. So if you've got, you know, your C sharp logic and you're trying to write unit tests for it, you can easily use an F sharp assembly as your test your test assembly to test your C sharp code.
And earlier we talked about the F sharp interactive that kind of
you guys
like,
are blowing my mind.
Oh yeah. That the F sharp interactive window, right? And so you can just highlight your unit tests inside Visual Studio, press Alt Enter, and it runs those tests, right? You don't need to build, open up NUnit or whatever, and then run that, right? It'll just execute in that that interactive window, right? So you get your feedback like immediately.
Yeah, that's actually really cool.
That's really crucial.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And in fact, in our project template, if you want to create like a class library in F sharp, we include like a source file and a script file specifically for you to write your unit tests, right? So we don't talk about this a lot, but I think one of F sharp's strengths is really being easy to write tests in.
You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, domain specific languages, but what's so neat about F sharp doing it that's different from like, you know, C sharp? I mean, I've seen people do domain specific stuff in C sharp. Do you know any like, what makes that easier in F sharp?
I wouldn't say that it's actually, you know, too much on the level of easier as far as like, but I think the code ends up looking a little bit prettier, right? So function application in F sharp doesn't require dotting in to methods and that sort of thing. So when you're in C sharp, you got something that kind of looks like English, but you know, it's still C sharp, and you can still tell that it's a programming language and that sort of thing. But yeah, really, when you say like, you know, two should be, you know, greater than one, that has no dots. It's just, you know, like literally should be or two
it's
separate
should,
words.
Should space be.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah. It's just yeah. Beautiful. And it's really easy to kind of give that to people and not have to, give them like the clutter of knowing, you know, how to dot into something or use a language like that. So
that sounds very Ruby.
Yeah, it is. It is. It seems like Ruby. It's not, but it's not dynamically typed at all. So F# is very much a statically typed language. And these these functions are not dynamically dispatched. You know, the compiler will, if you don't use them right together, the compiler will say, will cry foul, and it won't compile. So,
well, which makes sense. It's got to go to IL, and it's got to get jitted, and it's got to, you know, live in the context of the CLR and everything.
Yeah, currently, I mean, F# does not target the DLR, right? Like Iron Ruby or Iron Python. So.
I'm going to throw out a little marketing speech. F# has the same performance profile as C# and is not slower than your other statically typed languages such as VB, C#.
You just started World War III.
Thank you for that.
So French Sharp is really fast?
You mean Freedom Sharp.
Oh, Freedom Sharp. Oh, Freedom Sharp, yeah.
Fortran Sharp.
Yeah, I think F stands for fun. Yeah. Fun Sharp.
Who actually came out with F#?
It was a Don Syme, legendary Cambridge researcher. he works for Microsoft Research, and initially they were creating an ML.net, right? Just kind of like as a little research project, and just like kept on growing. And they're like, "Hey, let's do some research around this language feature. That'd be really cool to add." And then it just started getting like really useful. And then it was just last October that Microsoft's like, "Hey, let's put this in Visual Studio. You guys want to do that?" And we're like, yes.
Well, okay. So we've got VB, which has been, you know, it's been around for a while. C# came out in the early 2000s, right? You know, with the .NET stuff. Now we're adding F#. Are we going to add anything else?
Sky's the limit, bro.
Well, yeah, most certainly.
I mean, we got Iron Python
room
and
for
Ruby,
other languages, right?
Yeah. But those aren't really like where C# and F# and VB is going to be right now, at least. That's not the story. Maybe, you know, down the road it will be. I mean, so sure, we can put more, but how many more things do we need? I mean,
well, you have to look at it as like languages evolve very slowly, right? You know, C hasn't gone very far in terms of like expanding it, right? C++ is still, you know, and something that has been kind of surprising is how much C# has evolved, you know, in the past decade. But you know, as you see, like F# is really good for some things that, you know, C# isn't maybe excelling at. And it kind of helps that. And so, you know, maybe a few years from now, we run into some new problems that, you know, F# and VB and C# and Ruby and Iron Python are just not suited for. So then we'll make a new language and solve those problems.
Well, we can't go past G# because...
I thought like Z#, right?
No, you got to go back to A because it's in music ABCD, and you go back to D and go back to
A. You know, I think that's a Western scale. And I think, you know, if we start thinking about like Eastern, you know, kind of scales in musicologies, that we could probably, you know, kind of fudge that rule.
Well, you know, Dustin, you recently joined Microsoft. We're starting to wrap up here, but how's it been, man?
It's awesome. I mean, there's brilliant people. Every day, there's people excited to make things that developers get to use. You know, they're excited about making the best products possible. And so there's just kind of like an energy all the time.
He's
I love
paid
it.
To say this.
I am totally paid to say this. but no, seriously, I love living in Seattle. I just think it's a great place to live. Yeah, I really enjoy it out there. So yeah,
you were in Ohio.
I was in Ohio.
Folks that don't know you.
I was in Ohio, so I moved to Seattle. Yeah,
you basically disappeared off the internet.
I did disappear off the internet, and I want to say that's not. I just want to kind of clarify that has nothing to do with actually being at Microsoft. In fact, I'm getting kind of pressure from my manager that I need to be doing more on the internet and being back in the community and blogging more and being on Twitter and all of those things that I used to do a lot. And it's just. Yeah, I'm just learning how to balance time and, you know, balance my workload and balance that with my you know, getting out and be with my friends again.
So. And family.
And family. Oh, family. What? Yes.
We have families? Yeah.
Oh, no, that's another thing, right? At Microsoft, there's this whole idea of work-life balance and making sure that you're not overworking and spending enough time with your family and that sort of thing. So, and because that's a priority as well, so consider that like another reason why I'm not doing as much community stuff. I mean, I skip out on stuff all the time just to, you know, take the weekend with my family, enjoy myself. I'm really working to kind of make a coming back, like a second coming of Dustin kind of thing, and be back Like hanging out with you guys online business. Again. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was so arrogant. I really didn't mean it that way.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, it's on the record, bro.
If anyone knows Dustin, that really is how he feels. So,
well, I just want to say good luck on the book, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Getting a copy of it for free, of course.
I just want to say that, you know, as much as I want to plug the book, right, if you're interested in learning F Sharp today, right, you can download it. Add in for Visual Studio 2008. Like, there are three books available on F Sharp, right? So it's not like this is just some really, really remote technology. Like, you know, people are there are paid F Sharp programmers out there today. So
but once your book comes out, everyone will understand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Those other books, people forget about them. No, nothing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Dustin's got another talk to give this week at PDC. So we're going to do some C Sharp tips and tricks, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm everywhere, man. VB, everywhere. C Sharp, F Sharp.
You're a
that's,
man of
that is
many
the
talent.
Way of being at Microsoft, being kind of multi-language, multi-paradigm. That kind of thing,
Captain
so.
Language.
You're a man of many talents. Well, okay, folks, we appreciate you tuning in to another episode of Deep Fried Bites. This is going to put this one in a wrapper. This is coming live from PDC. Sorry we had a little background noise. I'm sure we'll try to make that as good as we can. Woody, it was a pleasure, sir, sitting down with you again.
Oh, pleasure was all mine.
All right. Dustin, Chris, appreciate your time again. And we also appreciate Jeff, the water boy, bringing us water over here, folks. All right, Deep Fried Bites is out. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.